Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Violence and swearing and death. Oh my! Hello, welcome to the Reading Circle Temple. I'm Marjorie.
I'm Indy.
I'm Brittany.
And Goodwin is celebrating his wife's birthday, so, you know, actually has a reason to be here.
It's actually really cute.
Yeah. So happy birthday.
We're having a throwback episode back to season one.
Yeah.
Today we are reading chapter 19 of Battle Magic.
So grab a cup of coffee.
Or tea.
Or your drink of choice.
And let's reunite.
Chapter 19 begins with Briar waking up, Rosethorn like trying to talk to him, and he's like, I'm so depressed, nothing could fix this. And then Evie's like, Briar, look at me, why won't you look at me? And he's like, OMFG, Evie, you're and we meet Luvo, who's like,
I thought you would be taller.
And Evie tells her whole big story. And everybody comes, and Parahan and Suda come, and they all listen. And we're all happy. But then they have to leave, and so they're going to put Briar in a wagon. And he's like, I'm fine by myself. I'm a manly man.
Nope, I'm suddenly Spoilers. Not. Let's go with the wagon.
Spoilers, he's not.
And almost screams from the pain.
And he's like, oh, it's worse than I thought because Rosethorn's not even admonishing me about anything. Yeah. So they transport him in a wagon. Where are they going?
That's a good question.
Is this where? Okay. So she says, we're close to Melanam. So they're going to Melanam. They get there in the wagon and they are going, the army is going to continue forward and leave the wounded behind. Neither Rosethorn nor Evie nor Briar wants him to get left behind. So Rosethorn breaks out the really fancy medicine that will do a, like the insta-heal. And it's really nasty.
It is gross.
It hurts.
But Briar takes it, so he is good enough to sit a horse. And then there's some, like, discussion about, well, why didn't you tell us you had that? And they're like, because it's hard to make and it's nasty to take. Trust us, you're better off just having healers. So then they ride on towards Garmishing. And I don't know what happens in the last scene.
I think they just all pile up and go to bed. I think that's the last part.
I think so.
They all go sit on a rock and just stare out into the whatever, and Parahan ends up falling asleep, snoring. And they're like, okay, I guess it's time for us to go to bed.
Yeah.
And the
they're
other
all
one.
Just happy to be alive.
Yes. Yeah. And together.
And together. That's
because next couple days is going to be gruesome.
Yeah.
They're hoping they all live.
Yeah.
Part one of our three-step reading process is reading like a novice. This is where we talk about what we liked and didn't like about the chapter. I know that we all liked that Evie and Briar and Luvo and Rosethorn all got to see each other again.
Yes.
I say as if Luvo has already seen Briar and Rosethorn. Close Isn't enough. He's heard about them.
He's heard about him. First and foremost, I'd box your ears, but apparently you're being punished enough. I thought I had come to understand the odd words that you used, but he is incomprehensible. Same, Briar. Same. I mean, it's Luvo saying it, but it's about Briar, so therefore.
I'm glad you clarified, because I thought it was Briar about Luvo.
No. But Luvo about Briar. I did think that you would be larger.
Okay. But this has been used so many times, right?
Mm.
So I just want to create some society where everybody's really short, and like being short of stature is like gives you prestige.
Yeah.
Just so I can have, I thought you would be shorter.
There are several of those that are just used as jokes, though, like in media.
Yeah.
Specifically when, like, it's like, ah, I thought you would be shorter. You have short king energy.
I would love if you were shorter, because yeah. I'm pretty short. It's yeah. That would be great. Like, yes, I am very short. It's amazing. I'm wonderful because I am so short.
I'm happy
being short can be a good thing.
Briar, why do those gods of the plain wave to you? Briar, I don't know what you're talking about. Wait a second. You can see them moving? Why would I not see the gods? Like, that's a dumb question, Briar. Like, what? You're an idiot, meatbag.
Except that Luvo is probably genuinely confused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wait, there are people who don't see the gods?
Yeah. Four-headed god to the north side of the gate had turned around to show Briar a naked green bum with four cheeks. The god was bending over to ensure that Briar got the message. Why are they just antagonizing him, man? Like,
because they can.
They're like, hey, hey, hey.
And no one's gonna believe him either, so yeah. They can definitely get away with it.
I mean,
it's because it's immediately followed with, did you see that? The walls? Yeah, there's paintings. Like, what are you on about?
Yeah, well, the priestess from the other temple, from the Temple of the Tigers or something, was like, oh, well, the little gods like to have their fun. Like, so I got the impression that, yeah, like, most people don't see them. So they're like, when people can, they're like, they're basically just small children.
Yeah.
They do it because they can. Also, apparently, this one of the small gods has a four-leaf clover bum.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I was gonna make that comment.
I needed to make sure it got made, because it's immediately what I thought of.
Shamrock looking ass. Briar going and laying with Evie first, them just being cute, and then Farhan. Like, all of the rest of them going out and her hand just falling asleep. It's like, way to go, bud. Right
Way
to
to kill the mood. Like, guy, really? Come on.
Well,
You know who Parahan reminds me of, though? My husband.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see that.
My first one is when Luvo is first meets Briar. Briar hasn't like fully turned to them yet, and he's just hearing voices. Luvo's like, I thought I had come to understand the odd words that you use, but he is incomprehensible. I have no idea what he's saying. He's just coming up with words. Poor Luvo.
This is
And
how I feel in professional development at school.
yeah, my next one is when Briar's like, go away, company. And Evie's like, please look at me, Briar. I've traveled such a long way to see you, and on a yak named Big Milk, too. I'd be like, what? Of course, he thinks it's a dream because, like, first, Evie was supposed to be dead. And second of all, you rode here on a yak? What?
Also, he's been seeing stuff.
He has been.
He's like, nope, another hallucination. Rosor, what did you put in my medicine?
That's exactly what he said. Did you give me more medicine when I wasn't looking? Because I'm hallucinating. My next one is when Evie goes, she's been crying and she goes to wipe her nose on her sleeve, and Rosamund's like, no, use don't use your sleeve. You know better.
Do you feel this on a personal level, Brittany?
Yes, it's disgusting. Use anything else. Use a tissue. Like, yes, gross, nasty. My next one is when Briar sees Luvo. He thinks to himself that Luvo had the shape of an animal, though it was that shape after the rock had sat in running water for years. A bear, maybe? A bear worn down by water. So this is just like a drippy like
He's
bear.
a very smooth bear.
Smooth bear. Just like,
Was gonna say it's like a river rock of a bear.
imagine you had several river rocks and you glued them into the shape of a bear.
Accurate.
My next one is when Briar gives Evie her stone alphabet back and she starts crying. And Luvo's like, Evie Maymay, why do streams run down your face? And Briar's like, she has her alphabet back. And then he had to explain what an alphabet was, what writing was. By the time he was done, Evie's crying was over and the army had reached the walled town of Millennium. Like, just to be able to explain why she's crying, like, and to explain all these other things, because Luke is like, what? I have no idea what any of that means.
I love that.
I do too.
I love that it just gets it's it starts to get to a point where it's just like somebody says something to Luvo and it's and then they had to explain what this meant.
My next one is when Briar's seeing all the little gods. And he asks Luvo, oh, you can see it? And he's like, why wouldn't I? Briar's like, well, I thought I was just imagining things. And then he has to explain what imagining things is. And he at the end, he was quite sure that Luvo still did not understand what imagining meant. My next one is when Briar asks Luvo, what do you mean? Why do you keep stopping yourself when you say meat and then change to humans? And Luvo explains, well, she asked me to use the word humans for those of you who waste two of your limbs and put all your weight on the other two. And Briar's like, we don't waste our limbs. We use those hands for doing things like painting the murals. And he's ha before Luvo even asks, he explains what painters are. So
Yeah.
because he already knew Luvo was going to be like, what is a painter? My next one is when Evie goes and tell talks to Suda to let her know, hey, I'm going with you guys. I may be a kid, but no, I'm going. When she gets back, Jamut is like, well, she knows His Highness and Rose Thorn and Briar all care about you. And Evie just rolls her eyes and is like, I know that, but nobody's let me be a child since my mother sold me. I'm like, ooh, oof. She's not wrong.
Woof.
She's not wrong. So, like, yeah, she's a kid, but yeah, nobody's let her be a kid. She's had it hard. A war is not gonna stop that. If anything, it's gonna make it worse. So let her fight. My next one is when Briar has seen the little god's bum, the four-leaf clover bum, and he thought about asking Luvo about it, and he's like, I doubt that Luvo would think that the god's behind was unusual in any way. So there's no point asking him because that's normal. It's fine. It's whatever.
LOLOL, Briar thinks Evie is a hallucination.
Nope.
I also wrote, Evie got no childhood. Sad face. I mentioned this before with medicine reminding me of activated charcoal because it's like nasty and you want to like it's hard to like keep down. But the ultra medicine that Briar drinks, he describes it like it's described as like it's hard for him to swallow when he's worried that he's gonna like throw it back up again. So it reminded me of that. I think I mentioned this in a previous episode, but Evie must have changed a lot in the war since she originally didn't like Luvo calling people meat creatures, and then in Melting Stones, she's also calling people meat creatures. When Evie comes to see Briar, he's like not looking her way, and he's like got his arm over his eyes and being all mopey mopey. Rose Thorn is like, you have a visitor and all of this stuff, and he won't look and he won't look and won't look until finally Evie's like, Briar, look at me. But then later in the wagon, she's doing the same thing and she's like got her arm over her eyes and she won't look at him and she's being all mopey because she's lost her alphabet. And he's like, Evie, 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 Evie. And then finally has to
No.
like put it in her lap. So they're just the same person.
They are.
Okay, so on page 350, Evie is showing Briar her feet. She says, not too bad, right? And then Briar swallows, and it says, Evie's feet were normally brown and calloused from years of running on rock and dirt with no shoes at all. Now her sole was puffed and pink with horizontal scars across it. So he's like, whoo. And then she asks him how about his wound, and remember he can't walk because of it, and he knows it's really bad because Rose Thorn is actually like being empathetic, and he's like, oh, it's fine, and it says he's ashamed for whimpering, and I'm like, Briar, Evie, both of you, please stop pretending that you're fine. It's okay to not be fine. Stop telling yourselves that if you're not fine, that means you're weak. Just please stop. But also, they are the same person. I'm just gonna bring it up again because I love it. The bit where Rose Thorn's like, they're bringing a wagon. And he's like, I don't need a wagon. I'm fine to sit a horse. And then he stands up. And he immediately sits back down.
Immediately is not fine.
It's one of my favorite scenes. I just like to see Briar in pain, I guess. But also, I do have a thing for like people who are really smart. Like I love characters who are really smart, but just about certain things are just idiots. And this is Briar in that moment. He's a very smart person, but right now he's being an idiot. Of course, the follow-up with Rose Thorn's actually being nice to him, and so he knows it's really bad. Oh, I'm gonna continue with what Brittany was talking about, where Briar says we don't waste what we do with our hands, and then has to explain what painters are. And then he says, we couldn't fight the Emperor's soldiers if we didn't have hands and weapons we made with them.
And then Luva responds, neither could he fight you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the beginning, when he wakes up and he's talking to Rose Thorn, he says, I didn't want anybody to die who didn't have to. Well, our people. And I think this kind of goes back to the whole, like, a person can be anyone thing. I don't know. It just, like, I've been reading a different book that feels, that has to do with, like, war and conflict and stuff, and it just feels, like, very one-sided. It's just, like, probably not all of those people are bad people. I mean, there are some people who are in charge of everything who are probably really bad people. But a lot of just those, like, normal army folks are probably just trying to get by. I guess it's just like, this is more of a step three, I guess, but it's like, beware dehumanizing people at times of conflict.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Step two of our three-step reading process is reading like a dedicate. This is where we look for a theme or a message in the chapter. What theme or message did you find?
The theme I found was healing. I know Evie coming back was very healing for both Rose Thorn and Briar. And then we get actual healing with Rose Thorn giving Briar the quick medicine. He heals very fast. And then also, I feel like at the very end with them sitting together is a healing as well. Just like community. Being there for each other, support before you have to go do something that you know is gonna hurt. I feel like that's some healing as well.
I wrote grief, also healing, or lack thereof. Because I feel like there are also scenes here where people are failing to heal, usually emotionally, because they're like, no, I'm fine. I'm a big macho person and I won't like let myself grieve or take time or whatever. But yeah, I agree that scene at the end is a nice, like,
yeah,
coming together and finally having some of that healing that has not happened yet.
Yeah, I think the best way to phrase mine is togetherness and support, because we just see a lot of support and them being all together and reuniting and just it's just sweet.
Part three of our three-step reading process is reading like a mage. This is where we use the text to craft magic in our own lives. And I'm going to go first because both y'all have already hit on it. Actually, I have two, but both y'all already hit on this one, which is the importance of community. I think if Goodwin were here, he would say something about his homies.
Yeah.
Tell your homies you love them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Community is... we need it in times of pain and grief are often the times that we need it the most.
Listen, love and support goes a long way for people.
Well, that was also mine, so.
Oh, well, I guess I should have let you go first.
It's fine.
Marjorie, what's your second one?
I gotta look it up because I just wrote down the quote.
What's the quote?
Perhaps Rose Thorn has a reason.
Oh, I'm going to pull an indie, I guess.
Do it.
I mean, it's not really, but it's just funny because you two have had the same one. Yeah. Anyway, we don't waste what we do with our hands.
Mm.
Marjorie, as a fiber artist and a writer as well, I know that you will understand this. Mm-hmm. Even a failure of a project is not a waste. Okay, we're gonna have a conversation real quick, and you can leave this in or you can take it out. I don't care. I've been working on this stupid little man, and he looks, wretched. That's all pencil.
Yeah.
Because I transferred. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't transfer. I like... drew him onto this from right. A picture. I cannot tell you how many times I've had to pull stitches, I've had to like rip stuff out, like how many times I had to fucking erase this thing. It does not matter if I finish it or not. This thing has already given me a headache. But it has brought me joy, and it is not a waste. Even if I do not finish it, I have not wasted it. I feel like we put so much weight on people's ability to make, quote, good art.
Mm-hmm.
End quote. Now, art is neither good nor bad. Art is supposed to be about invoking something. And I feel like that's with anybody who makes any kind of art. That's music, that's painting, that's quilting, like that's, you know, cross stitching, writing. All of these things are.
It's like the book that we did for April Fool's Day.
Yeah.
I didn't like the art, it didn't make it bad art. It just didn't touch me.
Yeah.
But other people, like Indy, like the art.
Love that art. I love that style of art. If it brings you joy, it is not a waste.
Yeah.
If it is to help others, it is not a waste. If it is to help yourself, it is not a waste. My view is the only thing that could ever be a waste is spending your time to tear others down.
Yeah.
That's not helpful for anybody involved. Like, you're not going to feel better about yourself. You're going to just not affect them and waste your time. Or you're gonna affect them, and that shit sucks, man. That is not
I feel like that actually rolls pretty well into my other one. So this is Rose Thorn gives Briar the super drugs. That's what I'm going to call them now, the super drugs. Yeah. Parahan, just ahead of them, looked around. "You have something that heals faster than ordinary medicines?" he demanded, scowling. "Why has it not been used on the wounded we left back there? We'll turn around right now." Suda put her hand on her brother's arm. "Perhaps Rose Thorn has a reason," she said quietly. And then they argue a little bit more, and then Suda's like, "Go scouting if you've forgotten these realities." I don't know exactly what I was thinking when I wrote it down, but I'm going to tell you what makes me think about now. Don't make assumptions. Maybe the reason that people do the thing, maybe people have reasons for doing the things that they do. I actually think about this with teaching. Teachers tend to be very dismissive of students, or at least in my experience, many of the teachers who I've worked with tend to be very dismissive of students. And we tend to say, "Oh, well, so-and-so's lazy," or "so-and-so doesn't care," or whatever. We often fail to dig into the possible reasons that, say, a student is late all the time, or absent a lot, or not turning in work. Maybe they have a reason. In some cases, they're up babysitting because their parents work multiple jobs, or even just that their parents like work nights. In some cases, they're more concerned about like having food on the table, or they work a job to help their family pay rent. In some cases, yeah, they just prioritize differently. This kid would just rather play video games than do your damn assignment. Which, even that, I feel like on some level is fair, and maybe we should be considering why our assignments aren't that interesting. I actually had a student several years ago that almost failed U.S. history. And he almost failed U.S. history, not because he was struggling, but because he just wasn't turning in his assignments. He was a limited English speaker, and he was in a sheltered history class, which is a class for limited English speakers. And he told me that he would go home at night and he would look up YouTube videos in his first language about whatever they were studying in history. So like they get to World War One, he goes and looks up videos in his first language about World War One, so that when he gets to class and his teacher talks about it, he already has some background knowledge, so that it's easier to understand what she's talking about, and he doesn't have to fight the language gap as much.
Yeah.
But he didn't turn in his work. And so it was like, he's probably actually doing more work for this class than many of his classmates are. It's just not the specifically assigned work.
Yeah.
And it broke my heart that he almost failed the class and didn't get a super good grade. And I wish that there could have been something like, I wish that there had been more recognition of like, this isn't even that the student isn't interested in the class. It's that the student is not interested in these specific assignments. Like maybe not being challenged enough. We like to end our episodes with an excerpt from the following chapter. So this is an excerpt from chapter 20 of Battle Magic. Suddenly, Evie heard the whicker of arrows in flight. She looked up, almost dropping her crystal. The Imperial archers had loosed a deadly rain straight on the Yangshan leaders. Rosethorn and Briar also looked up. They did not so much as stretch out their hands. Suddenly, crossbow bolts, sprouting twigs and leaves that slowed their flight, tumbled to the open ground between the armies. The snap of ropes pulled Evie's gaze to boulders that arced into the air. She grabbed Luvo. "Can we do something? Please?" There was nothing she could do about the Xiao balls, but the boulders were different. "Come with me." His voice boomed inside her skull. She twined with him inside his magic. They rose above their bodies into the unpleasant, thin air. Evie glanced down. Everyone seemed to be frozen. Even the green-leafed crossbow bolts had stopped where they fell. 5 stone balls were above the Yanjingyi army. 3 were unmoving. Evie and Luvo spread themselves wide to cover those, sinking deep into the limestone that made them. Evie knew a thing or two about limestone. While Luvo did something that made the stones tremble, she sorted through the bits of lesser material that formed them. She couldn't touch the bits of coral. Coral wasn't a true stone, but the remains of an animal and immune to her magic. There were other minuscule sea animals that had gone hard like the coral. She ignored all of them. With each non-stone thing she thrust aside, the limestone cracked. Luvo's trembling magic made the cracks grow and spread. Evie made piles of bits of flint, jasper, and chalcedony, leaving gaps behind as she shifted each piece. Abruptly, her body down below sneezed. She lost her concentration and separated from Luvo. She was backed in her physical shell. Small pebbles rattled as they bounced off the soldiers' helms. Luvo was covered with gritty dust. So was she. Nearby, she heard screams, human and hoarse. "What did we do?" she asked him. "We broke three boulders in midair," Luvo said. He sounded very satisfied with himself. "I wish we could have caught the other two. They damaged our army, but two stones did less harm than five would have done."
"Luvo, can we take rocks apart before they throw them?" Evie whispered.
"Put your hands on me," he said quietly. "It works better with both of us."
Evie obeyed and left her body again. The stones of the plain raced under them as Luvo drew her along, bound for the biggest rocks in one Yenjingi catapult. It went quicker this time. They did not have to work inside moving boulders. Evie simply ignored the fossil coral and bone, plucking the stones she recognized out of the limestone. Luvo pulled water from someplace and turned it to ice in the cracks Evie made. Evie didn't know where he got it until they rose above the heap of gravel that was the remains of the boulders ready for the catapult. Only then did she see shriveled bodies on the ground through Luvo's vision. They wore the colors of Yanjingi soldiers and, in the case of two of them, the black tunics and bead streaks of mages. Luvo had taken the water from their flesh. "Serves them right," she thought savagely. "They're the enemy. I bet they would have tortured us if they could. I'm glad they're dead." "There are other catapults here," Luvo said. "Shall we deal with them? If we reduce the stones to nothing, these humans will have to go far to get others." "Yes," Evie told him. "Let's do that." She was careful not to think about the people ready to load the massive stones into the catapult slings at their officers' commands. She simply followed Luvo into the stones, removing the grains that held the boulder together so he could freeze water in the cracks she left behind. Everywhere around them, soldiers and mages gasped for water and died without any idea of what killed them. Evie did her best to ignore them. Each time she felt her hate weaken, she remembered the heap of cold dead outside Fort Sambuchu. Now their ghosts had company. Wasn't that a good thing?
Reading Circle Temple is produced by us, Molly,
Brittany,
Indy,
and Goodwin.
If you like the show, tell your friends about us.
If you don't like the show, tell your enemies.
You can also help people find us by leaving a rate and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.
Find all our episodes at our new home on Acast, shows.acast.com/readingcircletemple.
Shake at us. We'd love to hear from you.
Send us an email at templeofreadingcircle@gmail.com.
You can also follow Reading Circle Temple on Instagram, Tumblr, and Facebook. And you can join our Reading Circle Temple Facebook group.
To find us on Twitter, tweet at Reading Temple.
A special thanks to Yellow is for Happy for our artwork. You can find more of their art by following Yellow is for Happy Draws on Tumblr and Shannon Ann Draws on Instagram.
Another special thanks to Brittany's brother, Thomas Dick, for our theme music. You can find more of his music by following Thomas Dick on SoundCloud.
Thanks to Tamara Pierce for writing The Circle of Magic, and thanks to you for listening.
Let's all have coffee next week.
Well, cool. Natalie, I am going to send you a possible excerpt. You tell me what you think of it.
I think it should be the part where everyone dies and everyone's sad.
That, I feel like that kind of fits with what Brittany just suggested, actually.
Yeah, no. Let's read the part where everybody dies.
And everyone's sad.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.